Can we give that hand clap to the Lord? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so thankful for His presence that I feel in this place already today. Amen. I just love the Lord. Love the Lord. Hallelujah. Excited about what He's going to speak to us here this morning. If you would turn in your Bibles with me today to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. While you're turning there, I just want to say what a great honor it is to be with you on this Sunday morning. I love youth. I love youth ministry. I love the ministry. And I give honor to the ministry here, to the Roberts family and all that are in leadership and serve in this church body and in this community. Had an opportunity, my first opportunity really, to spend any time with the Roberts family last night and then on Friday. And I can tell you right now that these are people of honor. And they are people who love people. They are people who are dedicated and committed to ministry. And you are blessed with great leadership here. You are blessed with great leadership. So I give you honor, give your family honor. Love and appreciate them. Amen. Amen. Ezra chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. Hallelujah. What an awesome congregation. I walked in and I told Brother Nick, I said, man, what a multi-generational church you have here. I said, every age group represented so adequately. So adequately. These little kids inspired me today. You're a prayer warrior. It's Abigail, right? Yeah. She was the first person to introduce herself to me on Friday night. So I immediately had an ally. And I was over there praying. She came up and just started praying for me. You know, we need more of that in the kingdom of God. You know what that is? It's called boldness. She felt bold. Hallelujah. We need boldness in the kingdom of God. You know why she felt bold? Because she knows exactly who she is. She was not at all concerned with what I would think or with what you would think. She was totally secure in her identity. Oh, hallelujah. Ezra chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. If you have it, say amen. If you're cheating and you're looking at the screen, say amen. Amen. This story starts out here with the Israelites being in captivity for 70 years in Babylonian captivity. That's 3.5 generations, 3.5 generations of people that were in captivity. Verse 1, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. So here the king is issuing a declaration, a proclamation, if you will, that these 3.5 generations of Israelites that had been in captivity for 70 years were going to be released to go to Jerusalem, Judah, to begin to work on the temple, work on the reconstruction of the temple that had been torn down by the king of the Chaldees. Would you pray with me before you're seated? Jesus, we love you. We are so thankful to be gathered together this morning with people of like precious faith. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church this morning. God, I pray that you would open our hearts and spirits right now to receive from your word. Lord, I pray the anointing would destroy every yoke of bondage, every yoke of fear, every yoke of insecurity, every yoke of hesitation and apprehension today, God. Lord, I pray that you would release the captive this morning. That you would release a spirit of liberty in this house. Lord, even as we feel the authority of the Holy Ghost sweeping into this sanctuary right now, God, I pray that every weight, every hindrance, every obstacle, Lord, would be cast off and we would run to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. According to this issue, according to this decree, it would be their identity that would qualify them to make the journey to Jerusalem to build the temple. It would be their identity that would pave the way for them to go back to Jerusalem, Judah. Hallelujah. I remember, Pastor, when I was younger, I was a teenager. And I began to want some of the nicer things in life, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Now, these things you may not recognize, some of you, but I wanted a Walkman, right? Come on. Oh, I felt an amen there. Hallelujah. I wanted some Air Jordans, right? And my mom just looked at me. She was like, well, if I'm buying them, they're going to be Jordache, okay? And she said, you know, if you want some of these nicer things in life, she said, you're going to have to get a J-O-B. Right? Hallelujah. Come on. Woo! Oh, stay right there for a minute, but I'll move on. She said, if you're going to have some of these things, she said, you're going to have to buy them. And I was 15 years old, so I wasn't quite old enough to have a job without a parental consent form. And so I remember we was driving home from church one morning, and there was a now hiring sign outside this little athletic club on the way home. And you know, I had no idea what they were hiring for, but I just knew whatever it was, I could do it, right? So I said, Mom, could you stop here? I said, I want to go in and apply for this job. And she said, okay. And I walked in and I'll say I was probably a little overconfident, you know, and I just walked in. I walked right up to the counter and I said, you can take that sign down. I said, I'm here. I said, whatever you're hiring for, I can do it. And they just kind of looked at me and laughed. And thankfully, that was the case. I was able to do it. And she said, well, we're hiring somebody to just kind of take care of the grounds and clean the racquetball courts and, you know, just do little odds and ends jobs around the place. And I said, okay. She said, now here's an application. She said, I need you to fill this out. And she said, and we'll need a copy of your ID. We need a copy of your ID. Anybody ever had to fill out a job application before? Yeah. She said, so fill this out and come back with your ID. Well, I didn't have an ID. You know, all I had was a birth certificate at that point because I wasn't driving yet. And so me and Mom, we had to go get a state-issued ID because they wanted me to be able to prove that I was who I said I was, right? And then there's all these other questions on there. Where have you worked before? And I'm like, you know, in my backyard, not in many other places. And what's your work history? And what's your background? Have you ever broken the law? Can you pass a drug test? Have you ever done anything to damage your identity that would prevent you from being employed here? And thankfully, at 15, I hadn't had a ton of time to mess stuff up yet. So I could answer most of those questions in a way that was pleasing to them. And then I'm pleased to tell you and report to you that they did hire me. They did hire me. Man, nobody clapped. That's all right. We'll just keep moving. Hallelujah. Yeah. And when they hired me, Pastor, they actually made an ID badge for me, put my picture on it and gave it to me. And what was cool about it was it gave me fringe benefits. I didn't even know what those were when I was 15. But what that meant was is I got some perks for working at the health club. That meant I got a free membership to the health club. And I could come and make use of those facilities anytime that I wanted to. I would like to tell you that I did that, but I really, you know, as you can tell, I weigh about as much as I did in high school. So, you know, didn't really make use of that the way that I should have. But it came with all of these benefits. Fast forward many, many years in life and a whole lot of other things that have happened. I was in my mid-20s or younger 20s. I was looking for a job. But at this point, I had made some mistakes in life. And I was applying to work for a home building company called Dominion Homes. I don't know if they had that up here back then. But I was just looking to do some really simple stuff, be a punch-out guy, go in at the end of the construction of a house and just do little odds and ends jobs. And I applied for that job. But the problem was that some of these questions were going to trip me up now. Because now I knew my identity wasn't what it was when I was 15. Because now I had made some mistakes. And in order for me to answer some of those questions honestly, I was going to have to be transparent about my mistakes. And so I began to fill out that application and give it to them and let them know all of the things that had transpired in my life. And regrettably, those mistakes kept me from being hired. Those mistakes followed me into my adult life. That's how sin is. It's a thief. It wants to rob you of your purpose. And the thing is when purpose is taken away, our identity begins to erode. And we begin to feel like we just exist. And we're just drifting through this life. Without a place to belong and a purpose to work for, we're just merely breathing. I want you to go to the next chapter with me, Ezra chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 59. And these were they which went up from Telmela, Telharsa, Cherub, Aden, and Emer. But they could not show their father's house and their seed whether they were of Israel. It means that they did not have the proper, necessary identification to prove that they were Israelites. And this is who it was that was struggling with this ID problem. The children of Deliah, the children of Tobiah, the children of Nakoda, 652. Look at your neighbor, say it was the children. And of the children of the priests, the children of Habiah, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillai, which took a wife of the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and was called after their name. These sought their register. That means they were looking for their name on a list. Among those who were reckoned by genealogy, they were supposed to belong on this list. But they were not found. Therefore, were they as polluted and put from the priesthood. And the Tirshatha said unto them, that was like the governor of that region, that they should not eat of the most holy things till there stood up a priest with Urim and Thummim. These generations of children were unable to prove that they were children of Israel. They were unable to prove their true identity. And as a result, they were looked on and rejected and cast in a negative light and were restrained from partaking in the fringe benefits that their identity should have afforded them. The qualification to go and work was that you had to be of the lineage of Israel. To leave captivity and bondage, you had to prove that you were an Israelite. For 3.5 generations, the enemy had been stealing identity and purpose. For years, every long day, bondage eroded their heritage. See, that's why the enemy's objective has always been to steal our identity in Christ. Because he understands the doors that open when we know who we are. Satan wants to discredit you with sin so that he can rob you of your identity. He wants to mar you with a heritage, hear it, that you had no control over. He wants to condemn you and identify you with a history of captivity and sin that you did not create. See, he wants to darken your future by identifying you with your past. I was born in the country of Brazil in a little know-nothing town called Cascavel, Paraná. You'd have trouble finding it on a map. I went back there to visit in 2012, and I'll just say I was so thankful that we moved away from there when I was 5 years old. Because if you'll allow it, your identity, your environment will become your identity and it'll dictate your future. I grew up in a home with an alcoholic father. I grew up in a home full of abuse. Before the age of 5, I saw things that no little kid should see, heard things that no little kid should hear, experience things that no little kid should experience. What was happening? The enemy was trying, he was trying to define my identity by what I was going through, even though I didn't have any control over it. It wasn't my fault that dad was an alcoholic. It wasn't my fault that I was in a sinful environment. Yet the enemy said, this, what's around you, it's all you'll ever be. This, what's around you, it's what your future's gonna look like. This sinful environment and the bondage that you were born into, this is exactly what your future is going to look like. And this is exactly what was happening to the children of Israel. They were taken into captivity because of the sins of their predecessors. Sometimes we think sin is just about us, right? Well, it's just my secret sin. It only affects me. It's not doing anything to anybody else. I can control it. I can put this fence around it, and it's not going to affect my wife, or it's not going to affect my husband, or it's not going to affect my children. I got to tell you today that that is a lie from the enemy. It is the nature of sin to disrupt the generations that come after you. This is exactly what the children of Israel were experiencing. You had multiple generations that were born in Babylon. They were born into captivity. It wasn't their fault that they were there. It was mom and dad's fault. It was grandma and grandpa's fault. They were the ones that fell into sin. They were the ones that were walking in disobedience. But it was the children that were paying the price for the sins of their predecessors. It wasn't a child's responsibility to keep track of their birth certificate, to keep track of their credentials, to make sure that when that decree came forth, that they would be able to make that exit to Jerusalem. No, it's mom and dad's job to begin to cultivate and preserve that identity inside the heart of a child, inside the heart of a young person. But yet it was the children that were paying the price when it came time to make that journey. The Bible says that those who could not prove their identity had to go before a priest who would use Urim and Thummim. Urim and Thummim was basically a religious test, if you will. The priest had a couple of objects in his vesture, and he would cast down these objects, and depending on how these objects would lay, they would say, you either are or you're not. Can you imagine? I'm a child of Israel. Well, let's roll the dice and see. It was left up to chance. Woo. So the decree of the king essentially said that without the right credentials, you can't return to the walk and the work of God. Which begs the question, who do we worship if we don't know who we belong to? And what is our purpose if we don't have an identity to anchor it to? If we don't know whose we are, then how do we know who we are? He understands that if he can steal your identity, he can strip you of purpose and ruin your future. But you already know that I came with good news today. And some of you just been sitting there antsy like, come on, get to the good part. We're at the good part. Are you ready? Hebrews 9:15 tells us, for this cause, I want you to point your finger at yourself, say, I'm the cause. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, that means for the sins of the past that I didn't even have any control over, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Friend, I came to tell you that you are no longer bound by the decree of King Cyrus. There is a new qualifier. There is a mediator that advocates for your place in the kingdom of God. And his name is Jesus Christ. It's not up to Urim and Thummim anymore. It's not up to chance. It's not up to the voice of any man. This world says that your future is determined by your environment, by your socioeconomic status, by your geography, by the color of your skin, by your diagnosis, by your philosophy, by your gender, or by your history. But God said, that's the philosophy of Urim and Thummim. That's the doctrine of chance. And Jesus decided he wasn't going to leave it up to chance anymore. So he took the whole system to court and he represented himself in a heavenly kingdom. And this is what he...
First John chapter 2 verse 1 says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know what an advocate is? It's somebody with authority to negotiate on your behalf. It's exactly what the children of Israel needed in that moment. I got a history I'm not responsible for. I got a past that's full of sin, and now I'm paying the price. What I need is an advocate. I need somebody with authority to step into the middle of this situation and make a determination that I don't have the authority to make for my...
So he went to court. And here's the settlement. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, of Babylon, of captivity, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. The mediator has adopted you. When you were born again, you did not receive the spirit of bondage or fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. You know what that means? It means the very advocate that stood on your behalf is now your father. The mediator is now your daddy. And now when the enemy comes up to you and says, I know your past. I know your mistakes. I know everything that's in your environment. Everything that you struggle with. And everything that you go through. And he tries to disqualify you. And he tries to condemn you. And he tries to shame you. You just pull out those adoption papers signed in the blood of Jesus and say, I know who I am. I'm a son of the great I am. He adopted.
Your destiny is not bound by the disaster of your past. Your future is made sure by the advocate that has adopted you. But you know, you got to receive that new identity. You got to receive it. He's already paid for it. He's already promised it to you. But at some point, you've got to make a decision like Moses did. I was raised in Pharaoh's house. I was raised in this worldly environment. I was brought up in a system that isn't holy, that isn't righteous, that doesn't glorify God. But I'll never forget when something came on him and he said, I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said, I'm a Hebrew. I'm an Israelite. I'm a child of something greater than my past says I am.
At some point, he had to cut off that other identity for his future to begin to change. He could not stay where he was in order for him to fulfill the purpose that God has for his... Woo! In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the voice of the enemy that has tried to rob you of your purpose. I take authority over the lies that have tried to mar your history. And I command the restoration and the reconciliation of your new birth to come upon you this morning. Hey friend, listen, I got news for you. You're more than just a Sunday Christian. You're more than just a check in the attendance.
attendance box. You're a child of Israel. God's got more for you than just mountaintops and valleys and all around struggles. He's got a purpose for each and every one of your lives. Hallelujah. 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 Woo. And what an awesome identity we have in Him. I love the story of the prodigal son. Young man with this inheritance decides he's going to leave home. Right, Dad, give me my inheritance. And he goes and squanders it. You know the story. One day he finds himself in a pig pen. The Bible says he came to himself. I love that phrase. All of us have to have a come to myself moment. Every one of us. He came to himself and he realized, look, this was my identity in my father's house. I remember the benefits. I remember the relationship. I remember the environment. And look at me now. I'm in a pig pen. I'm covered in mud. Look at what sin has done to my life. And he made a decision. You know what? The servants in my father's house have a better life than I do. He said, I'm going home to Dad. And I can tell you in the Holy Ghost right now that the Lord is reaching for some people in this room right now saying, hey, I've been waiting at the fence post, watching over the horizon, wondering when you would come home. And when that boy came home, you know what? Dad didn't come out and condemn him. He didn't come out and browbeat him. He didn't come out and shame him. He said, come on, let me restore you. Let me cover this filth that's on you and put my robe on you. Let me put my shoes on your feet and my ring on your finger. You know why? Because he never stopped being a son. He wanted him to know from day one there's going to be a restoration of benefits. You can use my name. You can be clothed in my righteousness. And you can walk in peace. All you had to do was come home and embrace your identity. Those are the benefits of sonship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when we come into the house of God and we praise and we worship, it's not just because of what He's done, but it's because of whose we are and who He is. I want you to look at their time in Babylon, in captivity. Psalms 137, 1 and 2 says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. You know what that means? Huh. Have you ever come to church and you just feel a heaviness? You're having a hard time worshiping, hard time praising. Man, what happened to my shout? What happened to my dance? You know what that is? That's the heaviness of Babylon, trying to rob you of your praise, trying to rob you of your Judah. Because Babylon understands, if I can keep them quiet, they'll forget who they belong to. Babylon understands, if I can just keep them still, if I can just keep them quiet, if the minstrel will just quit playing, if their voices will stop lifting up praises unto the king, it won't be very long before they forget who they are. And if they forget who they are, they'll forget how to give back. Ezra chapter 3, verse 1, 10, and 11. And when the seventh month was come, And the children of Israel were in the cities. The people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. There was unity now. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. And what is our foundation today? It's him. It's Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the rock of ages. He is the foundation for all of creation. And when creation is reunited with their creator, identity is restored and Judah is released. Praise begins to lift up to the heavenlies again, and joy is restored in the hearts of every believer of Jesus Christ. When they begin to rebuild that temple, their identity was restored, and so was their purpose, and so was their praise. And I'm going to tell you what's happening right now in the kingdom. There is a return to Judah that is happening right now. There is a return to praise. There is a return to apostolic identity. There is a return to purpose. There is a return to restoration. And as a result, we're producing kids that have boldness. That's what Proverbs says. It says righteousness produces boldness. There is a power that is tied to your identity that you can't get on your own. See, look, when they were in Babylon, they lost their song. They hung their harps, right? Because their entire identity was linked to their environment. I'm not in the right place and in the right circumstances, so I don't feel empowered to praise. I don't feel empowered to worship. But you go to Acts 16 and you look at Paul and Silas in a prison in the midnight hour. Beaten, bloody. And what did they do? They began to worship and they began to praise. Why? Why did they sing? But the children of Israel couldn't sing when they were in Babylon. I'm going to tell you why. Because they knew who they were and they know whose they were. They had been baptized in the name of Jesus and been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so they knew, hey, we're sons of God, whether we're in prison or whether we're out of prison. We're sons of the King, whether we're in Babylon or whether we're in Jerusalem. So we're going to sing and we're going to praise, not because of where we are or what our circumstances are, but we're going to praise because of whose we are. We are children of Israel. And you have never needed to know whose you are more than right now. You better hear this, preacher. There is an assault on the church. On our minds and on our hearts. It's coming from every angle. What's the enemy doing? He's trying to sift us as wheat. He said, I'm going to find out who's spiritually insecure. I'm going to find out who doesn't really believe what they profess to believe outwardly. I'm going to find out who really knows who they are and who is still questioning whose they are. That's why this morning you've got to make a decision. God, I already know when I went down in those waters of baptism that you wrote your name upon my life. And when I begin to speak with other tongues, you filled me with your spirit and I was born again. And so everything in my past and everything in my history does not preclude me or prevent me from walking forward in the purpose that you have for me. It is my identity in you that emboldens and empowers me. Your identity in him can change everything in your life. But you can't have split personalities. You can't be his on Sunday and be Babylon's on Monday. All you'll do is just cultivate dysfunction in your life. And you'll walk powerless and confused and insecure. But when you embrace your new birth and you embrace his name upon your life, there's something that comes on you. And those benefits that he gave. You know what one of the greatest benefits is that he gives me as a son and gives you? Is the ability to use his name. That's what he did when he put the ring on his finger. He said, this gives you authority to use my name. There's a restoration of benefits that is coming on the church in this hour as the church begins to embrace again exactly who they are and whose they are. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if you have never been baptized in the name of Jesus and you have never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, today is your day. You need to hear this, preacher, because that decree of Cyrus, it's not the last decree to go forward. There's going to be another decree coming, and the King of all kings, he's going to issue a decree, and a trumpet is going to sound. And when that trumpet sounds, and I walk up, and I say, hey, Jesus, it's me, it's Vinny. Guess what? If I hand him my Brazilian passport, they're going to say, sorry, Vinny. Not today. That passport's not good enough. I say, oh, I know what you want. I'm from the land of the free and the home of the brave. I'm going to give him my U.S. passport. They're going to say, sorry, not today. That passport's not good enough to get you through the gate today. Today we're only accepting one passport. And it's got to say citizen of heaven. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to prophesy to you in the Holy Ghost. There's going to be people on that day that say, oh, but Jesus, I loved you. I came. Remember, I was there on Easter. I was there on Christmas. He's going to say, I'm sorry. We're not issuing visas today. Today isn't Tourist Sunday. Today we are welcoming home all of those who are citizens of heaven. And you're going to have the right credentials when that trumpet sounds. And if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus or been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, friend of mine, I got good news. On this Sunday morning, if you need to know who you are in Christ Jesus, today is your day to make your calling and election sure. It's time to stop allowing the enemy to beat up your mind and condemn your spirit and shame your life. You look at him today and say, I am a child of Israel. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me?
Luke 13:24 says this, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, but we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Are you hearing this? He's saying right here, this is Jesus speaking. It's in red letters. There's going to be people that say, but I was in your presence on Sunday. I felt the move of your spirit, Jesus. I experienced you in an atmosphere like the one you're feeling here today. He's going to say, I'm sorry. This ain't open to tourists. This isn't just visitation Sunday. He said, no, this door is open to my kids. He's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. What do you mean, workers of iniquity? That's right. You can come into the house of God, experience the presence of the Lord, and still go out there and live a sinful life. You can still say, you know what? I choose to only believe this part of the Bible, but not that part of the Bible. Friend, this ain't a 12-step program. It's not take what you want and leave the rest. Jesus said, for you to embrace me, for you to embrace this identity, you've got to embrace all of this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You can't say, oh, but that's antiquated, that's old-fashioned, that doesn't fit in this society. You're right. Being a child of God has never fit into society. It has always been countercultural. It has always been the opposite of being popular. It has always pushed against governments. It has always pushed against cultures. He said, I'm not looking for visitors. When I issue that final come home call, come back to Jerusalem. Come back to praise. Come back home forever. It's going to be for those who have the right credentials. And there'll be no excuse then. You won't be able to say, but my home environment. But my parents. But the abuse. But the pain. But the addiction. But God, I got such good reasons that I just couldn't be a child of Israel. He's going to say, I'm sorry. I gave you the benefits that you needed. I gave you power in Acts 1:8. I gave you faith. I gave you joy. I gave you peace. But you kept running back to sin. You just couldn't submit to the man of God. You couldn't submit to the Word of God. Pastor, I hope this is all right. Hey, listen to me, friends. I know it's my first time here. And I try to hold back a little bit when I come to a place for the first time. Because I'm not looking to offend somebody else's sheep. I'm not your pastor. But I am an anointed, called preacher in this hour right now. And I am telling you that God is calling His children back to consecration. He's calling them back to identity. He is calling them home. And He's saying, I'm tired of my kids running around without their robe. Where's your ring? Where's the sandals that I put on your feet? I don't even recognize you when you leave this place. You need to embrace every part of me. For those of you who are, look, I can see it. Got a couple in here. I'm the rock that will not be moved. That's fine. A stone's going to cry out in your place eventually. I didn't come to persuade you.
I came to present to you Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and to tell you right now that when you say, I'm a child of God, do you know what you're doing? You are surrendering. You are saying, God, I give my... You're not hearing it yet. Help me up, brother. Listen, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. You know what repentance is? It's not confession. It's not confession. Confession is a part of repentance. But repentance is not confession. The Bible says, if I'll confess my sins, He'll be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That's all well and good. But repentance is when I say, God, I'm giving you jurisdiction in every area of my life, every area of my thought life, every decision that I make, every word that I speak, everywhere that I go, everything that I do, every the way I represent myself and represent you. God, I give you all jurisdiction in my life. You can't have Jesus in slices. It's all or none. Stop believing the lie. You know, that's the lie of Babylon, that you can have an experience and still be whoever you want to be. That's not what Paul said. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know what He was saying? He was saying, this flesh, the will of this flesh, the desires of this flesh, I crucified them. Why? So that this flesh could become a servant to Christ, become a son of the Father and represent Him. That's what it means to be a child of Israel. Every eye closed all across this room right now. And I just want you to lift your hands right where you are. Lift your hands and surrender and say, God, come on, we're going to repent right now all together. Jesus, Jesus, search me and know me, oh God. Search every area of my life, God, every door in my heart that I've closed off to you, every area of my life I have not allowed you to examine, every place where I've been obstinate, every place where I've been rebellious. God, you know my life already. Search me and know me today, God, and I ask that you would help me to repent before you today, to stop walking and pursuing the things of the flesh, but to surrender to you and the things of your spirit. Now I'm inviting you to respond. I invite you to respond to the move of the Holy Ghost in this room right now. If you want to come to this altar, come. If you want to step out in your aisle, step out in your aisle. If you want to pray in your pew, then pray in your pew. But respond. Respond to the pull of the Holy Ghost. Respond to the stir of the Spirit. Don't let it be another week that goes by where you struggle with your insecurity. Don't let another week go by where you're wrestling with bondage in your life. Don't let another week go by where you're struggling with addiction and struggling with secret sin. God has ordained this day as a day of deliverance for His children.